Hey now.
Hey now.
Normally when I podcast, I stand up. I'm standing up and pacing while I'm talking, but today I'm laying
the whole time?
My bed. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. No wonder you want to sit down.
Yeah. No wonder you're always like, time to get off this call.
Yeah.
No, I put a lot of energy into the podcast. And so, you know, when it gets to be about an hour and 15 minutes, it starts to get fatiguing. But now I'll just fall asleep at an hour and 15 minutes. Mm. I'll just go dead air.
Don't you just feel lighter though right now? Don't you feel like 120 pounds of entitlement has just been lifted off of us?
Because Claire's gone?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I thought you were saying Craig was 120 pounds of entitlement.
No, he's not the one who lifted off himself.
Although I am laying in bed. So, you know, while doing a podcast, so I guess there's a little bit of entitlement there. But yeah, Tayshia, let me just get this out of the way for all us cis hetero men. Man, Tayshia in that bathing suit. Woo!
Yeah, I mean, they gotta show off her assets because, I mean, okay, I hate that word. Dang it.
I was literally going to use the word assets for it too, though. It's very like appropriate to Tayshia's figure, I guess.
Yeah, I mean it's good. There has to be sex appeal. There just has to be sex appeal on the show, and it's been a while since they could. Caitlin, I was thinking back to when we were talking about how The Bachelorette has to be kind of an every woman and The Bachelor has to be an impossible man. And we were saying, well, Pilot Pete's the exception. And then right after that, I kind of thought to myself, well, you know, he was portrayed as like the sex master, right? So there is that.
Yeah,
so
he
not
was.
Back to this conversation from last week.
Oh, yeah. Great.
No, because of, you know, his windmill sex sessions were like the hot topic around him, which is kind of funny because he does not come across in most other situations as like, hey, check out this man who does so much sex, you know.
Remember he had a Jesus and a condom in his console.
I
don't even know what the Jesus thing was. A Jesus.
He just had a Jesus in there.
Jesus, one condom.
You shouldn't store Muhammad condoms in there, right, though? Because, like, heat damage or something?
There's tons of reasons why you should never store condoms. Like, you know, if you're not 18, you don't have to hide condoms from parents. Why are you keeping them anywhere except by your bed?
Well,
Craig?
What if you're not in your bed?
Okay. So why are you having sex anywhere else if you are of a, like, you know, of an age that your parents aren't, you're not
sleeping with? What if you're over at her house and she doesn't have condoms?
You should bring some over to leave there. You
know? Yeah.
What if it's a one-night stand?
The thing where you, like, put them in your wallet or whatever? I feel like wallet's safer than car console. Because
it's a good move to keep a couple in your pocket. In case you need him, if you're going out looking to have a one-night stand.
That's such a 90s joke, though. Remember, they used to have those little, like, a keychain that said, like, break in case of emergency. And instead of little fire extinguisher, it was a condom. And it was so stupid, but it was such
that's
a cool,
funny,
like...
Actually.
No, it's dumb. Great.
It's pretty funny.
You could also go out and buy some at that point, right? That, like...
Right.
If you're like, oh, I don't have any on me, and it seems like sex is going to happen, just like swing into a 7-Eleven or wherever.
That reminds me, so Planned Parenthood, you know, they're constantly under attack, but they sometimes do pop-ups at little places, and they had these awesome, oh my god, I was like so excited, because first off, I love Planned Parenthood, big fan here. They had a lot of little tiny things on their table, and Craig knows I love going to, like, I guess it's not a thing anymore, but going to, like, whatever, a festival that's not, that you don't pay to get into, and then, like, getting all the little freebies.
Yeah.
And they had a little box for condoms that you could put on your, like, I guess in your bag, or
it was
it's cute. Stuff like that is cute.
Yeah,
for sure. I'm down for that.
I was going to tell a story, but I'll refrain. It's not that funny. But you know who got a rose this episode was our man Easy.
Easy.
Thanks.
He does sing every
time. Yeah.
And we've got some fashion to talk about. And
yeah, there's definitely some clothes.
So we got a little bit ahead of us here. So I'm inches away from banning any more conversation about Claire. So I feel like if you want to talk about Claire, we better get that out of the way now.
I was wondering about that too. Go ahead, Caitlin.
I was going to say we should at least mention there was a lot of weirdness around both like the timing of the Claire Dale update within the episode itself.
Yeah.
Which was just kind of funny to me that it was like, you're in the middle of the episode. It's like gonna have dates any second now. And then it's like, Chris Harrison has a serious direct to camera appeal about how you can't watch Tayshia's dates yet because Bachelor Nation has a lot of serious questions for Claire, you know? Right. And so like right in the middle of the episode, this weird time where I was like, I don't even know why. Part of me was like, I don't know if we even needed this segment at all because it didn't give us anything different than what they had already said last episode in terms of like the conversation that Chris Harrison had with Claire, where he asked the same things and she responded in the same way. Right. Like, so I don't, it feels like they were doing it to be like, people have questions. I guess we need to get her back here. But there was like literally nothing added to it.
Yeah. Well, it started off like, you know, a plead, and then it ended up feeling like propaganda. They're clearly on her side. Bachelor producers, Chris Harrison, all of them. Why are you trying to sell us something when, you know, and last week you guys went on in the week before about whether she's lying, and the first week too, about she's lying if Dale and her talked before. And like, I'm kind of not interested in that conversation because whether they did or didn't, she was still horrible. Like, it doesn't add or take away anything from what I feel, how I feel, or she's a liar. I think that. So I'm not going to, like, if she lied, she probably did. If she didn't lie, then whatever. She's still, like, cut off a lot of men for no reason. There's clearly men of substance we did not explore because we got a lot of substance with Tayshia's dates.
That's going to be a title for my memoir, Men of Substance We Did Not Explore.
I guess that sounded a little too profound for what we saw. Men of Substance.
I did really
real men of genius.
Real men of genius. When Chris Harrison, like, super dramatically turns to like a different camera at the very beginning of this. Do you remember this moment? It made me laugh because it was like he started talking, then he turns to a second camera and continues talking.
Camera two.
But I wrote down this this one sentence because I just thought it was a very funny thing to say, where he said, was this really a documented case of love at first sight? And he very much emphasized the word documented.
Yeah.
Which made it sound like, but you know, like, film. Is this like a UFO sighting or something? Like, there has been a documented case of love at first sight here. Like, we have the video.
Right. He made it sound like an experiment. We got to see all the, from beginning to end. We have it on tape. Ergo, it must be.
Well, we did.
True. If it's fabricated, we didn't. If
it's Claire is not lying. There's one thing she's in love. She is in love.
She,
I mean, I do buy.
She's
that.
Always in love.
Yes. I mean,
she doesn't seem. She seems like she hates a lot of men, but she also seems like she's constantly falling for any dude that's a good-looking guy.
This is like, the first time I felt bad for her because Dale's not 100% there, and it's also the first time I truly thought I'm worried about Dale.
Let's play the clip.
Play the clip.
I'm not going to bore you with the ends justifying the means talk since we've killed that. You know, Claire is always trying to justify her. She even said, "Never ever has a pandemic happened." Okay, right. Claire. Yes,
never ever.
Yeah.
She just played the game, the board game with Dale.
But I'll just go straight to we'll skip all my Claire is lying, Claire's a exaggerating. Claire's an idiot. Claire's a, like, you know, whatever. So we'll just skip right to Claire and Dale talking about the future.
What is next for you guys? Moving in together? Wedding? What's up?
I think, like, you know, obviously...
Babies!
You just skipped right over that. No, are we having babies first, or are we going to get married first?
Yeah, we're going to get married first.
Whatever
happens. We're just happy to, like, start our lives together.
Don't talk over him, Claire.
More and more and more.
Yowzers.
Ooh. Yeah,
that didn't sound good with audio only.
Yeah, yikes. She is does not listen to him, right? At least no. That is
well,
there.
She was also like sitting on him. Do you notice that? Like, she yeah. was sitting on his right side, and so she was positioned ahead of him. So he had to like move his head around in order to even say anything to Chris Harrison.
Interesting. Yeah, she's like physically blocking his like rights. Like, you know, to like be a participant in the conversation, the relationship. Well, she even says, I'm obsessed with him. And that something I didn't mention last week, she said off camera or like through a window, he's literally everything to me.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I get the vibe. He seems like he likes her. It just also seems like the level that she is at is like, you know, it's like 0 to 100. She's like 0 to like 300. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she's gone well beyond. So I mean, even like the babies thing where he just sort of like doesn't acknowledge that that's what she said. He's basically like, no, we're definitely going to get married before we even consider having children. Never mind about that. So I feel like I think he likes her, but she's also so intense and so fast that it does seem, yeah, that she's sort of like not listening to some of the things that he says.
Yeah, I'm gonna play the accelerationist role here, and just encourage Dale, like marry her, plan the wedding, Dale, do it. Let's see, and then put there. I wonder if he will be like, okay, wait a minute, because I think a lot of people are telling him, you guys are like, you're going too fast, blah blah blah. But I wonder if we were okay with it. Like, if would he be more self aware? How like uncomfortable he probably is. Mm-hmm. I'm not his friend, so whatever, let him do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I mean, I get this vibe, especially like last week, and then, well, I guess mostly last week from his point of view, but you know, Claire talks about her dad again, of course, and he has had the similar experience of like, and it seems like he really bonded with her over the losing a parent thing, right? That like, so I wonder if he's just sort of, you know, he's gone whole hog into this because he's like, she's right, we do have so much in common, like look at all of these, it's just, you know, we are meant to be. I guess I'm feeling these great ghost vibes, so I guess we should just do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, I guess last thing about Claire, there she does mention having a panic attack, or does she say panic attack? I think she doesn't. She might say something like, I just had an anxiety, like, oh, I was just over anxious. And any talk about mental illness aside, it just feels like she probably has one a lot. And if she's just sometimes, sure, there's mental illness questions. I don't want to touch that because I don't want to assume that. And I don't want to talk about that. She seems like she's doing that to kind of check in that he's still there. And testing your relationship all the time is the most exhausting way, like to have a relationship. Like, that relationship sounds exhausting. And I'm already like, oh, like, come on, Craig, men hate that, right?
Yeah.
Or are you that in a relationship? No. You gave the like double take.
I was weighing how much do I actually like crazy versus how much do I like a calm, organized relationship? She takes it to the next level, no doubt.
Oh, for sure. Look, yeah. 25 at 22, you deal with it and you're having fun and you're in a relationship and you're a kid and that's to be expected. But at 39, at 31 and 32, Aren't you so done dealing with like people testing you? Yeah. You know, make sure they love you.
Yeah. So I have two thoughts on this, right? The first one is when Claire was talking about her like anxiety attack sort of situation, and she's walking around the pool and Dale comes up and holds her hand, etc. When she started describing it, she said he did this amazing thing for her and she doesn't even know if he realized that what he did was amazing, right? And I was like, oh, as a person who has had panic attacks in my life and had partners deal with them terribly, I have to say, if he doesn't even know that you are having one, you are not communicating this well. You know what I mean? Like, if you're like, oh, I'm having a panic attack or an anxiety attack, and your partner, you think, has literally no idea what's going on with you, that's not a positive sign necessarily, right? Like, it's nice that he's like walking with her or whatever, but that she's not communicating what's actually happening is like, oh, that's actually not great. You know, like she's phrasing it like he's there for her. And it's like, well, it seems nice. It seems like he is, but it also seems like she needs to be better about, you know, being like, I have this problem. Let's discuss what we do when I have these issues. You know,
he needs to read a book about it.
I mean, it might not hurt, but yeah, that was my first thought. And the second one was the 39-year-old thing. She brought up her age at the very end of this when, you know, when they're talking about how, you know, this is never, a pandemic has never happened before. This whole situation's never happened before. And she said, well, you've never had a 39-year-old woman as the Bachelorette. And I was like, don't put this on women in their older 30s, Claire. Like, this is not, I do not think that her age has anything to do with the quickness of settling with Dale. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's like, well, any late 30s single woman would have hopped on Dale immediately, you know?
Yeah, it's the lumping together of like that's how she excuses everything away. And if we had the energy to go into any more of Claire, but you know, I would have said that, you know, just her she always packs it all up together and wants it all excused. It doesn't matter what's in that ball. And it really, like, that's not, that just her ends justify the means. She has so many different, like, what, they're definitely behaviors, but they're more than that. They're sociopathic, in my eyes. And I also don't have the energy to go through them as neither does Craig, but it's like, you know, put so many nails in this coffin, but
hey, I'm laying here. I'm enjoying myself. I have 120 pounds of privilege lifted off of me. So I'm ready to close the book on Claire. Do we have any closing the book music?
Craig, would you say that your life is feeling easy currently?
Well, that's someone else. I was actually looking for closing the book music. Oh, here. I don't know what this is. We'll see. Goodbye forever, Claire. What was that?
What Greg? Was that?
You that's sent not... it to me.
Are you sure?
Nope, I'm not sure.
That doesn't sound like something I'd put together.
Well,
go I don't try think... something else.
All right. That was good. We launched her into space, don't you? Isn't that the dream? Okay, fine. What are these? Goodbye forever.
See, that's one I feel like we should be playing all the time.
You love the morning zoo shows. Yes. Hate them. They bother me.
Yes. Someday
Craig wants a cowbell.
I'll run the sound effects board and we'll have a lot more of that.
Okay. So Tayshia.
On to Tayshia. We get four new guys. Spencer's one of them.
Four new guys. This is exciting. Where they come from, there's
big
no
ass limo full of men.
Not really. Four guys.
Yeah, I did. That phrase was killing me, though. Like, there's a big ass limo full of men. There's four men in there.
Yeah.
Right. And what I was reading about this is that those four men are people who were like basically rejects from Claire's first casting. That like they were put through to like some round or whatever, so they'd been looked over and all of that, but then they weren't selected for that group to go into the house with Claire.
That they were rejects, though. They're like, they're pretty good looking guys for rejects. Like, I know it's not based on looks, but like, they're they're top tier. Like, if they threw them in with the first bunch, would you know they were not?
You think they're pretty good looking guys? Like, one of them has a porn mustache.
I like that guy.
Craig? Really? Spencer looks like he's made of clay.
I have a lot to say about Spencer.
Yeah, I don't. It's Spencer's got a vibe I do not enjoy. The other guy, what's his name? Peter looks like five of the other guys who are already in there. Like, I was like, you can't tell me that man has not already been in the house. He looks like everyone.
Do not tell me that's a new person. They just made a few of them.
It's like, no, that's the same guy that's already been in there.
Yeah. So it sounds like and me and Montel. Caitlin are objecting to your notion, EZR, that these are good looking guys.
I mean, is like a random bunch of men. Yeah, they're good looking guys. As like, let's take them apart individually. I don't know. I can't pick.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would agree. If there were those four guys like standing on the sidewalk outside of a bar or something, and somebody said like, "Oh, that's a good looking group of guys," you'd probably be like, "Yeah, it is."
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I don't know.
Oh, great.
My standards are very high. For a good-looking group of guys.
Craig's walking up in his cargo pants. My standards are pretty high about. Just kidding, Craig. Messing with you. I dress like I'm still freaking 25, so don't even, you know, I'm still like going to the van store, so you can judge me all you want. Okay.
Number would you give that guy, Noah, with the mustache on your rating system? What number is he?
He's a nurse.
I don't know.
He is a nurse, which I feel like it's a nice plus.
I realize, like, all I really know about him is that he has a porn mustache. I didn't actually get a good look at him. So
there was a big, long look at him at the end of the episode.
But I don't think, I never watched those things during the credits. They annoy me, so I didn't watch it. But Spencer, I don't think it's a very high number.
Interesting. I have a lot to say about Spencer. Okay.
Well, now's the chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All of America is listening.
Well, you answered my question, Caitlin, about did they spring these guys? Because the way they came in, they were so mysterious, right? Like, we didn't know where they came from. We didn't know who they were there for. And Spencer did not solve any of that, which was interesting of him.
No.
Not. So, Caitlin. Big thing for you. Mm-hmm. The second Spencer kind of started to reveal himself as onions do, I thought of you. Because Spencer, to me, is what Bennett is to you.
So, I will say Bennett has grown on me over these last episodes.
Right, in terms of first impression, Spencer.
My initial reaction was very much like, that guy, I hate him so much. And now I'm like, you know, I kind of like Bennett. I mean, I think I'm into it. So I feel like I get what you're saying. My initial reaction towards Spencer is sort of similar, that I'm just like, this guy?
Let me tell you why. So to recap, Caitlin, you're an East Coast New Yorker, and you have a visceral reaction to Harvard men and legacy entries and to Yale or Harvard, I'm guessing, Princeton, Notre Dame. What else? UPenn, Georgetown. I don't know.
You know, the whole like prestigious university Ivy circuit. League. Yeah,
sure. And then there's also the like, you know, oh, we're from Boston. And I mean, you do it. I don't know. We're from the original 13 colonies. My family's been here since the Mayflower. I don't know what they do. What do they do?
I mean, yeah, there's like an old money thing that happens there, right? Did I talk about this when I first went off on Bennett several episodes ago? But do you know what the original like city motto for Boston was?
No.
You'll never guess it. It's they no longer use this one. They've modified it. But it was known for a long time as like, you know, like New York City, the Big Apple or whatever. Boston's was the hub of the universe.
Exactly. There you go. Good thing you said that.
It's very much the vibe that they don't use that one anymore because it does sound ridiculous. They've modified it to say it's the hub of New England, which makes perfect sense. But the hub of the universe to me is what I always think of when I think of Boston.
No, totally get it. Okay, so you have that reaction because you grew up around, I'm guessing, a lot of those types of people. Now, that reaction and those types of people are well documented in media. I feel like Spencer isn't, but it's just as prevalent here on the West Coast for people like
San Diego.
Yeah. So I weirdly grew up around where Tayshia grew up.
The OC.
Yep. If you've seen the OC, if you've seen The Hills, you know the kind of guy Spencer is. They know their place in certain circles.
Wasn't there a Spencer on the show?
Right. Of course there was.
Spence?
Yes, Spencer Pratt.
Spencer Pratt, right.
Yeah. Just in it for the win, guy. Just in it for the win. The total, like, I mean, what you can imagine. The racist asshole who is daddy's boy, new money, not from the West Coast when it comes down to it, but for all intents and purposes, like, everyone you've seen at tiki torch carrying, whatever you want to call it, that's him. That's that guy. And so it is like, I don't want to say it's traumatic, but those men, it was traumatic at first when you encounter those men, but then when they become your friends, I realize it's almost like Stockholm syndrome traumatic. Like, they're your friends. Some of them are my friends.
How is it traumatic to know someone
like that? Because of the things I've been through with people like that. The racism. And it's not just like unconscious racism. It's like in your face racism. Really rude, really hateful.
Like, if you're Hispanic, you should be cleaning the house. Like, why would you be doing anything else?
Lots of little things like that. Those are definitely the day-to-day things, but then there's big picture stuff too. So I kind of found it interesting that Tayshia said a quote that said, "There's not many men where I live." And that is totally true. That is Spencer too. So, like,
well, she worded it in a way though that was even more woke than that. It was like, there's not, I'm not gonna be able to remember what it was, but it was a good line that she said. It wasn't just, there aren't a lot of men. It was like
the
men
around me. I remember what you're referring to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about not wanting to, like, train them up, basically, to be like, oh, there's not a lot of people who come, like, fully formed, essentially, that, like, you would need to put in a lot of work on that. Easier, you know what, your Spencer talk is reminding me of a fact I learned about him earlier today that will not surprise you at all, because it very much did not surprise me. He's a lacrosse bro. Bro.
If you play...
So is Craig.
What? No. If you don't live in New England, like, if you live in San Diego and you play lacrosse, then there's something really wrong with you.
Craig, didn't you play lacrosse? Like, really?
Lacrosse? No, not at all.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Water polo. Isn't that lacrosse in the water? Is it water polo?
It's like soccer in the water, yeah.
Oh, okay. But
water polo is a little different because you're out in the sun and you're playing a sport and... We weren't good at it.
Out in the sun playing a sport. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that does sound... Lacrosse is played outdoors, Craig, generally.
Well, that's not what I mean. I mean, when you grow up in California, there's water and you swim and it's only natural to have a sport around it. Lacrosse is this strange East Coast thing that you really have to like, go out of your way to play if you're in California.
Oh, it's very much like a cultural thing here too. Like, the town that I went to high school in is a lacrosse town. Like, my high school team won state championships and stuff like that. It was like, oh, this is lacrosse hotbed, you know. So I knew a lot of lax bros, and there is something eminently hateable about a lacrosse man.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Okay, so
I wouldn't say the same thing about water polo, EZR.
I'm sorry, I don't know why water polo and lacrosse, they always kind of overlap to me. Maybe because one's played on, maybe the same people were on the same teams.
At Huntington Beach High, possibly.
Yeah. Okay, so guys, you two, guess what? me and Tayshia have a lot in common. A lot.
Wait, you're a social media influencer?
Oh.
In it for the wrong reasons. Social media influencer.
Craig is singing along to his own song badly.
I was like, is that an echo? But no, it's Craig singing along live to the recorded drop.
Yeah, forgetting the words to his own song.
That's the best. I think of all the song drops, that's the best one.
Okay, good. Well, so... I grew up.
I want to hear what you have in common with her. She self-described travels around and for work and stuff.
Okay, well, I'm talking about pre-bachelor days, obviously, but okay. We grew up in the same town and kind of the same conditions.
She grew up on Huntington Beach.
I think she grew up in like Santa Ana.
Okay,
but. I wouldn't be surprised.
You're literally from Huntington Beach, like.
Yes.
Whoa. Okay.
It's what? Not a point of pride here.
What's the problem, Caitlin?
It's just the problem, Caitlin. I've literally never been there, but I'm familiar with it via cultural properties that exist.
Well, it's Surf City. I mean, if you want to.
And Huntington Beach kind of competed for the title and for some reason in legal battles, Huntington Beach won for no reason.
Whoa.
Well, the big American pros tour stop is in Huntington Beach. So there's that.
Isn't what's her face? Why am I forgetting? Isn't Cassie from Huntington Beach?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Plot thickens.
Yeah, kind of like makes sense, right?
Okay, so Tayshia's from Santa Ana-ish.
So if you guys want to add, right, so I feel like I might even be, like my dad's family might be related to her mom for some reason. Like when I saw her mom, I remember me and Craig saw her mom, both of us, watching the TV at our weird live episode we did of Bachelor Masters.
Oh, wow. That was a long time ago.
Exactly. And when I saw her mom, I felt like, I felt related to her. I don't know. I'm being crazy here, but I'm Tayshia. So if you guys want to ask me like who's going to win or who I like or why I like them, I can channel her right now. Like I feel in tune with her. So in tune. Culturally, the way we were raised and like the circumstances and like, you know, the areas, but also our taste in men are like we would never be friends. We'd be enemies, unfortunately, because we'd go after the same men. But I'd be friends with all of her best friends. So we would be like polar opposite people.
What is going on here?
That's right. I'm doing it. Tell me, ask me, who do I like? I will, like, if you name a guy, I'll tell you why or why not.
Spencer, clearly.
Spencer, because it's a trauma you need to, like, undo, or because you've always liked those men and you don't know how to, like, get it. Like, get rid of that, like. And, okay, so I should also preface this by, I had no one to date when I was growing up except white dudes. And now that I'm out in the world, yeah, okay, fine, I ended up with a white dude. But on my way there, I finally got all the world things I wanted. Because I was like, why are there only white dudes to date in my town? This is weird. And I feel like Tayshia is doing that too now, by the way. So... Okay. Brandon?
Well, what about Zach?
Totally. Zach.
Oh, yeah, I'm curious about Zach.
Mm-hmm. He's so sweet, but no, he's not there in the looks department. Honest truth. This is me being Tayshia. It's not being me being me.
Is that why you're kind of doing that SoCal accent kind of thing?
SoCal accent? What are you talking about?
You're doing kind of like a millennial speech pattern when you
I'm trying to close my eyes and be in Tayshia's body. I love the way she came in. Okay, pause. I love the way she came in and had such a good attitude and was just so congenial, but she also seemed kind of fake. Did that?
Yeah, like, she seemed like an actor, like on a stage.
Like a pro.
Yeah.
So I'm trying my best to like revert back to who she really is. guests and not the influencer.
Well, we're used to having people that are trying to be influencers on the show. She actually is an influencer now on the show. Now,
right.
So she's got all of her cues down, you know.
She used to be a phlebotomist, like the blood draining people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what her job was when she was on Colton's season, and they did like the, you know, who are you, what are you stuff. All right, EZR. How
tell me.
Tayshia.
How do you feel about the presidential election, Tayshia? No.
I can't talk about politics. I'm sorry, it's The Bachelor. We can only subtly.
Right.
All right, what about Riley?
Riley, oh my, that's who I'm thinking of when I say, yes, I need someone different than all the dudes I'm used to. But he probably won't make it very far, probably not to, like, you know, he might be in the top five, but that's as far as I'm willing to go.
So who's
going
to win?
He's awesome.
Besides Spencer.
I don't know who's going to win because I don't know them all yet. I'm still meeting the guys, Craig. But Brandon, remember in our pre-show how I said how much the podcaster, said how much I loved Brandon?
Okay, which one's Brandon?
The one that
he's with the fireworks. Curly hair, wore the turtleneck on the first night.
And then had a one-on-one.
Then they went on the one-on-one date. He's been divorced too. Craig, you remember this, right?
He went on the one-on-one date last night.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
He's so honest and humble, and he's good looking. Like, there's...
He talks too much, though.
He is the man. I love that.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Podcaster, of course. He talks too much.
You know, can we this was going through my mind. Can we just take a step back and remind ourselves how absurd this show is? Because this is what their date consisted of.
Okay, I'm done being patient.
Walking around on horses on fake streets, you know, because they're streets that are within the La Quinta. So they're not city streets. They're resort streets. Uh-huh. Okay. Then... swimming around in a pool for a little bit, and then sitting around a dinner table for a little bit, and after that she's super giddy and like, I could totally go home with this guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a natural amount of time to start developing feelings for somebody.
Know what made me feel that way more?
We'll get
more
back
than
to
anything?
That, Craig.
Okay, yeah.
I want to continue talking about the men
with patient. Okay, wait, but to answer Craig, the one part that made me feel the ridiculousness of The Bachelorette, which is rarely happens, is how she was like, I felt like we were behind the scenes in a bad way, like not in a good way, because when she was on her side chat with Brendan on night one, which was, you know, she came in and she introduced herself and then the guys took her away one by one, and then Chris Harrison walked up and she very politely but at the same time kind of rude,
right, went, was like, hi,
nice talking to you, oh my god, hope we see each other again, okay, bye. Like, that felt so stiff and fake, and not, it's not on Tayshia, it's on the show. Okay, Caitlin. talk to Tayshia. Let me come back.
So I'm going to circle back around to Zach for a second, because I had a question about Tayshia said on this episode that she really liked and found his accent intriguing. he's from New Jersey. Just wanted to dig into that a little bit more.
Okay. So when you don't know how obnoxious, sorry, Caitlin, New Yorkers or like people from the area can be, they can be a little intriguing, but then it's gonna wear on you. Even the things he was saying were very, very like, they're code, right? They were like, he's like, I'm not into all this being California. His view of how it seems, right, the quote-unquote fakeness, that's the, and then she said, I love that. Right, which is antithesis of the show. I love that you're not here to be on the show.
So like like, yeah, they're chatting, and then she does her, like, to the camera thing, and is basically like, "You surprised me. Like, he's so interesting." And she's like, "Love that accent." And I was like, back up to where you found a New Jersey accent attractive, something that I've literally never heard anyone say in my life. And I don't think he has, like, a strong New Jersey accent or anything. But,
I didn't
like,
even notice anything.
Right? I was like, it sounds fairly normal, but when she pointed out his accent, I was like, let me check on this. And it was like, he's from Haddonfield, New Jersey, I think they listed, which is like suburban New Jersey, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that might be by the Philly suburb side of New Jersey. I'd have to double check. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was just like, huh, interesting that you were like, what a great accent. And I was like, his barely perceptible New Jersey accent.
You got to say something. Like, got to say why this guy
is similar to me. If somebody had said, like, God, I just find a Rhode Island accent so sexy. And I like Rhode Island accents. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're endearing. It's just a very weird thing to say.
Yeah. No. She has a lot of emotional intelligence, Craig. That's the word of the decade. Just kidding. I don't know. She has she reminds me of, like, a good teacher. Tayshia does. Mm-hmm. She totally zeroes in on what she should say to certain people for certain reasons and how to make people feel special. Her body language is awesome. But where are we? Like, she has to eventually let that facade drift away and become Tayshia. So I'm hoping, I mean, like I said, it's not on her. She came in and she did them a big favor. That would not be okay with so many women, including Claire.
What would it have been okay with so many women, including Claire?
To be like the second half.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Doing what she's doing would not be something that other women would do.
Yeah.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to play. I was going to ask clip. One more man, I guess, on this. Ivan?
Ivan.
The chess playing guy.
Yes. Yeah. I am very intrigued by him. I would love to end up with someone like that on paper, but it's just not who I actually like.
He's not good looking enough.
He's not good looking.
He's cute.
He's cute.
He's very cute. But he's not like manly good looking, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
I mean, for this show, I would say I would put him in, you know, the top quarter of attractive guys, actually. Like, because there's some men that are just facially not attractive to me at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like Bad Beard Blake.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that guy. I'm so annoyed by him. He's time to go. I hope she eliminates him in the next rose ceremony, because, like, this guy spent so much time whining about how Claire didn't like him back and he put in all this effort. And then, like, literally the second he gets to talk to Tayshia, he's like, well, I'm all in on Tayshia now, in love with Tayshia all of a sudden. And I'm just like, okay, you can't have it both ways. You can't have the, like, I had a real and true connection with Claire and was, like, so into it. I thought she was going to pick me. I was definitely going to go to be in the top, like, three men at least. And then be like, actually, I don't give a shit a few hours later because this lady's hot. You know, right. Like, you can't do that about face. And I feel like Jason is a good example of that, right? Like,
he's
the other guy.
We got to talk about Jason. Holy moly.
We absolutely do. But I feel like they were in the same boat coming into the Tayshia situation, right? That they're both guys who seemed like they had a thing with Claire, right? That, like, they were both at least verbally, like, into Claire. You know, we feel like they were in the top contenders for Claire outside of Dale, I think. And where Bearded Blake is, like, flipped a switch immediately from complaining about how he bought a book and didn't get anything out of it. Jason decided to leave.
Don't change plans on Jason for anything. That man will flip out on you if one restaurant is closed. Like, oh my God. Like, I don't think he's being honest either. I don't think he really left that he has anything to do with Claire. Like, is he having a breakdown? Is disguising it as a Claire thing? Or is he just really not interested in Tayshia? And I kind of can see him not really being interested in Tayshia. And that's a bummer, because as Tayshia, I can tell you that he would have been number one, like, or two.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, he's the kind of guy that Tayshia would go for 100% if she had met him, like, well, if she had actually spent, like, a date with him.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
The guy
that's
kind
of what
annoys...
she says, right? And like, when he goes she to talk that? To her, mm-hmm. and she does her like to camera stuff, she was basically like, "Yeah, this is like really disappointing because like he's one of the ones I would have wanted to get to know."
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, I think as Tayshia, he would have been either he would have been easy a runner up, but probably
easy a runner up.
He was once a thug from around the way. Easy.
Hey, you said it, not me.
I know. But and that's where I think Noah fits into it. If I'm Tayshia, Noah's there. Jason's there. Not anymore, but he would have been. Brendan. And unfortunately, probably Spencer. But who knows how long that'll last. Do you want to talk about Tayshia being an influencer? Do you want me to play?
Well, I wanted to talk about ex-addict sober living guy.
Oh.
Because this guy, Zach.
Isn't that the same guy? I can't tell.
It's Zach?
It's Zach, the New Jersey accent wearing high-top sneakers with his suit guy.
Yeah, he knows the hell out of me.
Gross, yeah.
Sorry, I'm laying in bed. My brain didn't compute that was Zach. He doesn't have a chance. And yet he keeps butting himself into like into the show, like he has a chance.
Does he just have like a face you don't like though, Craig? Like he just seem like a wiener to you?
Exactly.
Like, he is like a wiener, huh?
He is.
Yeah.
He's not an attractive guy, and he comes off very like confrontational.
I know what Craig. He doesn't need Craig. You do not fool me. You're just like, I hate his sober living house. Like, you just hate him. Yeah.
I don't hate his sober living house. I have nothing wrong with people that are in recovery trying to make something better of themselves. It's just that he has a very dark past, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not just an alcoholic. He's an addict. Yeah.
You do have to assume that that's the background. But
isn't there that place in Jersey, Caitlin?
I argue with you about... You said he doesn't have a chance. I think he might have a chance.
Tayshia says no.
Yeah, I mean, Tayshia seems... I don't think he's going to win, necessarily, but I think he's going to make it many more episodes. You know what I mean? Like, the preview-y things that they showed in the middle of the show, again, interestingly. Like, he seems like he gets a one-on-one date with her.
Ugh.
I am... Craig hates wieners.
He's the producer pick then.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Maybe his place is going to be the place for all bachelors to go for rehab. Like, he'll be like their bachelor in-house rehab center. Like, that's how deep the connections run. Because there's a few things like that, I feel. You know, some ex-bachelors become... Well, for example, like we were talking last week, Rachel and Becca have a podcast that is from the Bachelor franchise, not from ABC, not from, you know, whatever, some podcast network. It's from the Bachelor franchise. So I feel like they're starting to have like almost Bachelor branded things.
So this is going to be the Bachelor branded
rehab
in New Jersey. every state has it, but there's a area in New Jersey that's very well known for like where heroin users go. It's like this really prominent part of New Jersey. So my mind was kind of wandering into that area. I don't know if that rings a bell, Caitlin, as being a New York East Coaster.
I feel like we like at some point need like a Natasha New York East Coaster drop because we keep on bringing it up. That doesn't ring a bell to me in terms of a specific like city or anything like that. I mean, I guess
I mean, it's New York. It's
several of them, everywhere. I'm sure. Yeah. But yeah, I was intrigued by that guy because I really, like, I don't think he's cute facially. Their conversations seem kind of boring to me. But yet,
yeah.
What Tayshia is saying to the camera is, like, I like that guy, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Producer pick, I'm calling it.
Yeah.
We're going to get... Because we haven't had, like... We're already, how many episodes in was this? Five. This
is five. Mm-hmm.
And we still haven't had like sob stories yet. Like, what do we call them? Pity stories?
We call them sob stories, I
sob
guess.
Sob stories. We haven't had a single one yet because there hasn't been any one-on-one dates.
His life is he's coming on as a sob story. And then, right. What are you talking about? So and then Claire and Dale both have dead parent stories, don't those count for something anymore?
They had those, and Claire's date with Jason was all about his dark, mysterious past that they never fully explained.
Yeah, but it's not. It's
and
not
Brendan
like
is divorced.
Not like,
it's very dark. Brendan's been divorced, but they had a very friendly divorce.
Right, that's my point. We haven't had like I had to eat lipstick because my mom didn't bring home any food.
No, Craig, those do not fit into the Bachelor narrative. Like, they can only be inserted once every couple years.
What I'm saying is Zach is going to have that story. He's going to have that high level of story.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why he's the producer. Sanctioned.
Right. Yeah, totally. Just like Caitlin, not co-host Caitlin. Caitlin, the, it was made for camera. Yeah,
right. I got specifically on this podcast because of my traumatic backstory that I shared with you guys. So,
it's frustrating, right? When it's used as a ploy for something, and I agree, but I also agree. He's definitely like wiener material, and it bothers me too. Except that I don't know when it's a girl, it bothers me because I'm and I think when it's a guy, it bothers Craig. Makes sense.
Yeah, there you go. We're more similar than we seem.
I know. That's why we hate each other. Just kidding. Okay, ready?
Whoa.
Influencer Tayshia. Just messing with you, Craig. I'm tired too.
What do you do?
Well, I travel quite a bit for work and for pleasure, but I'm like more so in the beauty and lifestyle space.
I'm in the beauty and lifestyle space.
I loved Riley being like, cool.
Play it again. I didn't catch that.
Oh, here, I'll play the end because it's, I love the way he goes,
in the
cool,
beauty
cool.
and lifestyle space.
Cool.
Yeah, it was just funny to me that it was like, that was the reaction, especially because I think right after that, she asked him like, oh, what do you do? And he's like, oh, he does like, medical malpractice law and like something like he had a few other things like honestly like sports law and things like he is almost certainly loaded serious job.
It kind of sounded, I mean, definitely a serious job, but at first it sounded like ambulance chaser and then
I think when he says medical malpractice, what he means is he represents like the doctors and hospitals against ambulance chasers. That's what I think.
I thought it was on TV, like, have you ever been hurt by Pfizer?
I see what you're saying, but no, I didn't get that sense.
Yeah, I think those are like personal injury lawyers are the kind that are usually on TV, and my understanding of the medical malpractice ones are like those are the ones getting paid to like usually fairly good money to represent folks against that kind of thing. I just liked that conversation with Tayshia describing what she does because
she is so clearly like in lifestyle space.
Yeah, like the way she phrases it. First of all, she starts out with the "I travel a lot for work and pleasure," which is a very funny line too.
No, it's great because that is an influencer. Like, people think it's easy and fun, but it's so much tedious, annoying work when you should. Like, that is Caitlin. Like, I mean, we all follow influencers on accident. I have to because I run the account, but you guys might just on your own.
Sure.
But I think it's so like my one reason to go to college, because I had like a crossroads moment where I was like, I don't have to go to college just because my parents did. Like, I definitely had like a moment. And then I realized, I said, I never want to do a job where I'm looking at other people having fun. That's like my one thing in life. That was my one motivator in college.
I don't have a job where I look at other people having fun.
Right. So despite how much money a bartender makes, I do not want to be a bartender. Things like that.
But social media influencer, they have tons of fun.
They do. You see, that's what you think. But they also have to sit there for hours and edit and take 20 pictures doing the exact same thing.
Well, that's why you have an influencer boyfriend. They're called Insta boyfriends, right? Where they're the ones taking the pictures. They're the ones running through the filters.
Yeah. It's so boring.
I mean, I think it varies on the person as to like who's doing what, but I do that shit all the time anyway. Yeah, so I've run social media for work before, not as an influencer, but like, you know what I mean? Like trying to do brand outreach, and it is so time consuming.
I mean, I do that shit all the time anyway. I'm not even an influencer, but I'll run my photos through a filter before I post them. And
yeah, Craig, but that's not as much work as, you know what I mean? Like the filters you're using are not going to be the premium influencer filter.
Yeah, and you do it like when you want to. These people have to come out with content all the time.
I'm just saying, like, if someone said, here's 3 nights in a hotel and all you got to do is post one post a day, I think I can handle that.
Okay. I'm not saying it's not super easy, but it's obnoxious and it's something I would never.
I'm saying I have no problem with that. I see your point.
But if you really had to do it, if you had to do it.
Hell yeah, I would do it.
You'd think that. I don't know.
Huh.
The things I've seen sound not fun.
I wouldn't want to do like where they have in LA, they have these like influencer houses now. Do you know about this phenomenon?
Oh my God. I saw the TikTok about the influencer house and it made me want to die.
Yeah. I mean, they're like mass producing influencer content now, which to me is not the same thing. Like Christina, was that her name? The Russian?
Yeah, the lipstick.
Mm-hmm. She, to me, is like the perfect influencer story because, you know, she came from nothing. She came out here. She put herself on the show. She played it perfectly. And now she gets free hotel rooms 365 days out of the year. And all she has to do is post every other day.
Yeah, but it is, I don't know. I guess, okay, let me tell you guys about not a strict influence house, but I got a story. Do you remember, Craig, what's the guy that was on Vanderpump Rules that was from The Bachelor? Orange Robbie?
Oh, yeah, Orange Robbie, yeah.
Okay, Orange Robbie lives in a house with the guy that won Emily Maynard's season, Jeff, who hates Ari, right? Ari, ex-bachelor Ari.
Yeah.
And Robbie left and didn't want to pay his like utility bills because he was gone filming Vanderpump or whatever the hell for he was on the MTV show. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on Siesta Key and he like didn't want to pay the utility like that they paid. And then the guy who owns the house in Venice died and they haven't paid rent for a year. And then they were getting ready to kick them out. But then Corona happened. So they've been there for like almost 2 years without paying rent.
Sweet.
Yeah. Anyways, just thought I'd share that story.
See, oh my God. He's playing his cards correctly then.
But anyways, Orange Robbie is a douche. That's the point of my story.
Okay. So anyway, you don't like the influencer life. I would chop off my right arm to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting to me, Craig, because you're so anti corporate podcast.
Yeah. Yet he would hawk anything here.
You would love to be an influencer.
Well, if you're an influencer, in many ways, you get to choose what products you represent.
Sometimes,
yeah. Unless I would fired by something else. Standard. I wouldn't do one for Walmart, for instance.
Just Craig, do you get my point that you would never, like, have you ever had a job where you watched everyone else do something that?
Well, I mean, I bartended.
You did? Yeah. Like, seriously, though? What do you mean? You worked at a bar? Or it was college? What does that mean?
Well, it was a college bar.
Okay.
And I bartended.
I need more backstory. No. That could have been one night only. I'm not talking about that.
Where you watch people have fun. Like, you work at an amusement park?
Yeah, sure. That's a good example. Mm-hmm. Where you watch other people on vacation or on a break or, like, not.
Yeah, service industry. Yeah. I've waited tables and stuff, sure. But for I haven't, like, worked at a resort.
For, like, how long were you a waiter?
How long was I a waiter? Not very long. Half a year, maybe?
Right. I guess my like realization came after years of doing stuff like that, where I was like, I felt very stuck. I felt like Aladdin in the animated movie.
Yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying. I don't see how it necessarily relates to being an influencer, though.
I'm saying that an influencer's life, maybe on paper sounds great, but you have to do so. You have to, like, when I watch them do something, when I catch them, like, on the street or whatever, I think it's an embarrassing thing to do. Because they're just pointing the phone at themselves for, like, an hour. And it's so...
this is stuff I do every day. I don't see what the problem is. God.
Okay. And then...
I take pictures of myself on the bus, waiting for the bus.
Right, but you do it once, and if it's not perfect, you can move on. They have to, like, sit there, and then the light goes, and then they have to bring someone with them, and they have to carry a bag. And then they're not just out and enjoying that place. They're like, this is going on too long. But I want to know if, like, that resonates in any way with you, because it's not like people think an actor's life is easy. I'm not saying you're making money.
I think it's a lifestyle choice, though, because, for instance, you'd rather work a job where you make a lot of money, you have an office or something, and then you get 2 or 3 weeks vacation, and then you go on a great vacation and you don't have to worry about anything because you have the money to pay for it. But see, I like the lifestyle where you're traveling all the time, maybe getting paid for certain things that you're doing along the way. Because, like, most of my travel over the last 20 years, and Caitlin knows what I'm talking about, has been for academic stuff where I have to show up to something for a day, get paid not a huge amount of money because it's academia, but you get paid to, they cover your flight or something, and then I stay and hang out in that place for another N number of days. And then I move on to the next place. See, that's the lifestyle I enjoy. But I could see how people would enjoy the first lifestyle where they can take these big extravagant vacations all at once.
Yeah. Well, I've done that too. I've been in academia since I quit. But I just like my life to be my own, and work only owns me a short amount of time. And it's not like, and I didn't hate my jobs. I've rarely hated my jobs. I guess I'm more private. Maybe that's my issue with it, is that I'm more of a private person.
See, me, I've hated every job I've had. So it's like anything to not have to show up to work is a plus for me. So so if it means I get to go around and, like, take pictures of a hotel, you know, that seems a lot more in my style than to, like, show up to work every day. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, saying?
Yeah. I do. I just,
How does this relate to Tayshia?
How does it relate to Tayshia? She's an influencer. I forget.
Oh, right. Because she works in the beauty and lifestyle.
Right. Why didn't you just say that? I mean, an influencer is a job. Why didn't you just say that?
Why she phrased like that, right? It was very, like, euphemistically, you know, Amy, and to be like, travel a lot for work and for fun, and I work in the beauty and lifestyle space. It's like, you could just say, like, you're an influencer, or, like, you do social media or something, you know?
I wonder if when history books are written, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was Orange Robbie who, way back in the day on Bachelor in Paradise, had the chyron social media influencer.
There's been a few people who have had it since. I don't remember if Orange Robbie was the first.
And I think he was the first exposure many of us got to the term social media influencer. I kind of feel like The Bachelor didn't coin the phrase, but popularized the phrase.
I don't know about that.
Because I think that was the first time I'd ever really heard of the term social media influencer. And I've been on social media since day one. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. That's just
Well, it wasn't a thing back on day one. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a job that existed for a long time.
I'm aware of that, yes.
Yeah, for like social media existed for a long time without people actually making money off of it. But
well,
I feel like the difference
with Suicide Girls, like where is the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I forgot
like
about
that. There are a lot of like early on things where you make money and you have a look and you have like a brand, you brand yourself.
Well, I'm sure this is terribly exciting for our listeners.
Right,
so
no.
Let's move on.
We'll chop this up.
What's the next thing? Fashion Roundup?
Sure.
This week, Bachelor Masters is brought to you by Craig's Qualified Fashion Tips. Gender neutral, gently critical, and guaranteed to draw attention to the relative complexion of your exposed skin and the ability of garments to flatter or humiliate your particular body type.
Going somewhere? Well, you're going to have to wear clothes, dummy.
That's why you need Craig's Qualified Fashion Tips, proud sponsor of Bachelor Masters. You don't need to look ridiculous anymore.
Man, Chris is such a good writer. Okay, so take it away, Caitlin.
Okay, well, I have several notes on things. One thing I definitely wanted to talk about was that two of the men on the beginning of the episode, the first like cocktail party, etc., before there was no rose ceremony. Zach and Ben both wore sneakers with their suit instead of like dressy shoes or like loafers or whatever. Zach wore high top sneakers and Ben wore some low top ones, but neither of them looked good with their suit. They were both kind of a weird choice.
Yeah.
Did you notice this, Craig?
Yeah. And I've never been a sneaker or sports shoe kind of person anyway. I understand there's a whole culture around it.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't want to like dive into that, but yeah, I'm not really into that. That's why I do like sandals, because if you don't want to wear a pair of dress shoes, I think sandals bump up well against pants.
What? Is sandals instead of dress shoes?
If you're going to have
like a full suit situation?
I was trying to shut my mouth, Craig, until you said that. Like, dear Lord.
Either that or sneakers?
Yeah. It depends what sneakers. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
definitely never sandals.
I'm agreeing with you here. If you're wearing a suit, like with a jacket and everything, right? Which these men were,
your shoe choice is
like sandals or sneakers, I would say definitely go sneakers over sandals. But neither of them is a great look in this instance, because their suit was not matched to being like, oh, it's going to look good with sneakers. It basically seemed to me that like when Chris Harrison was like, show up here fully dressed for a surprise, that they were like, I'm going to wear my comfortable shoes.
Craig, right. Tell me why men can never wear, like, why aren't men capable of wearing sandals? Like, I feel like they're always wearing them like too up, where they're just dragging them, or they're wearing them with socks, or they're like getting these like tiny girl ones. I'm just so annoyed in men in sandals. They had a picture up on Instagram of all the men in the robes with little sandals on, and I had to comment, like, I don't want to see any guy's feet ever.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't need that.
Do you know what I'm talking about? How come they don't put the little piece that holds the sandal together in between their foot? They always like wear it like way up. Like, ugh. Do you know what I'm talking about, Craig?
I think so.
Why?
I don't know. Like, well, men's feet aren't attractive like women's feet are.
Then why do they wear sandals?
I don't know.
Why do men do anything? Is like the real question here.
Yeah. Well, when I don't want
to answer the question, Craig.
I wouldn't do it now, but like if I were to, for instance, say I was going to go to a wedding in like Costa Rica or something, I would wear a nice pair of pants and dress shoes and a nice button-down shirt, collarless, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the wedding ceremony is over and it's transitioned to the party, I would probably take off my dress shoes and socks and put on a nice pair of sandals.
A nice pair of sandals? What does that mean?
Like TiVos or something.
Oh, like rainbow brand or whatever? Oh.
Like not like flip-flops.
Oh. What the hell are nice sandals that aren't flip-flops?
But still like a tactical sandal is what you're saying.
Yeah, tactical sandal, yeah. I put on a tactical sandal.
Tactical? Like for war? What does that mean?
Tactical means like you buy it at REI.
Yes, yeah, like a hiking-friendly sandal, like a taco or whatever.
You mean like a really strong piece of two pieces of plastic or rubber or whatever, leather, that are fused together well. That's what that means.
And it's got the things that go over your foot.
Oh, you mean the ones you slide into?
Yeah. I don't know, probably. Because even I would probably not wear flip-flops to a wedding party, but there are sandals that are nice. I wouldn't wear sneakers, but I wouldn't wear my dress shoes either because it's hot.
Okay.
So, same first night
that was
situation.
A good Bachelor Masters fashion roundup argument, by the way. We need more of those.
Well, how do we feel about Brendan's turtleneck with his suit, which Tayshia specifically says she loves because it shows he has style, but he says the men were making fun of him and calling him Steve Jobs.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Mm. Well, because of what's her name from that company?
Elizabeth something.
Elizabeth Holmes.
Theranos. Yeah. Like between her and Steve Jobs, you can't really wear a turtleneck anymore.
Don't you ever, Caitlin, did you ever practice her voice? I always was practicing.
I absolutely could not do that kind of voice. It's so deep. You know what I mean? Like,
but it's like,
I'm not good at accents or anything in general, but that voice sounds so dopey.
When I heard her talk, I think I was talking like that for a week as a joke, and then it kept like seeping into my real voice, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna turn into her, because it's so but it's that kind of sounded like Quinn's nemesis, like,
yes, ooh, but god, forgetting her name, but yeah, I know exactly what she
Sandy.
Looks like, the Sandy. Yes, she does have that same voice.
I as Tayshia, just a standout look is kind of awesome. It didn't necessarily have to be a turtleneck, but it looked good on him because of his hair and his like jaw shape. I'm not in the fashion roundup, guys. Keep going.
I agree that he's pulling it off. Actually, it's mm-hmm. not a great choice in general, I would say, but yeah, the uniqueness of the sea of men all wearing kind of similar suit looks, the fact that he's a little different is a nice thing, right? And because he's like a handsome guy, turtleneck frames your face in a way, right? So it's just like mm-hmm. you're just looking at the face and the hair basically when you have the turtleneck on. Yeah. So it's working for him because he is handsome enough and he has like his hair is kind of a nice thing for it too. So I feel like he is pulling it off, but it's a very divisive look, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, it does get cold in the desert, so I mean form over function, you know what I'm saying?
True. Other suit comments. Kenny remarked that he's never had a suit in his life. He bought a suit specifically for this show.
I'm kind of over Kenny. So
me too.
It's like, yeah, whatever.
He's another douchey Zach type for me.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, when he was talking about this, the suit thing came up in the context of like Tayshia asked him what he does or whatever. And he said he's in the music scene and he books bands. He did not say what the show says, which is that he's a boy band cover band manager.
Right.
That's not what he offered up. So.
Speaking of which, that boy band cover band would actually be a lot of fun to go to. Have you taken a look at it? They cover not just one boy band, but they cover all bunch of boy bands all together in one show.
You know what? As a officially uncool mom, I love going to cover band shows way more than I would any like show of any band I love. I would much rather.
Have you, Mark, ever seen Steel Panther? Did you ever go to Steel Panther?
No. What is that?
House of Blues. It's like a fake hair band.
Oh, we've seen a few fake hair bands, like at like a Hard Rock on Sunset. Yeah, it's really bad.
They're at the House of Blues.
I love it. Yeah. No, I love the cover band. Like you know what? I don't want to say this because I don't want everyone to come to my empty shows where I can be by myself, like have a big radius around me where I can plop down and like watch my favorite cover bands because their voices are still great. You're not going to watch, like, you're not going to get a good seat.
You know who says the same Rolling exact Stones thing or whatever. What you're saying?
Mm.
My dad.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying I'm an uncool parent here who loves who prefers the imitation to the real thing, 100%.
Yeah, give my me dad's all the constantly imitations. Trying to convince me that that's like the coolest thing ever, and I'm like, okay, Dad.
I'm not trying to convince. I don't want anyone to go. I want to hang out by myself, and I want to cheer them on. Before there was a big rush for Queen, one of my favorite cover bands was this Queen cover band that was so good, and the guy I happened to meet through a friend, the lead singer. But now that the movie came out, now they're in high demand. But I loved, one of my favorite memories is like sitting there with like five people around me watching this awesome Queen show. I'm like, this is rad. This is the life. This is like second, like, okay, if you can't live the good life, live the second best life.
Let's go to Vegas and you can go to all the cover bands you want with my dad.
I'm so down. I want to do it. I want to do everything. Now it's finally getting to me, quarantine. Go ahead. Anyway.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, what's next?
So I have two more notes on fashion. One is Ed, a completely forgettable man on this show. So you might not even know which one he is.
With the pompadour?
With the pompadour, Ed. He was wearing a blue, like, windowpane check suit, which I have noticed is a trend with the men. A lot of them have been wearing that, like, windowpane check suit pattern in the last few episodes.
He's also wearing a Texas Chainsaw Massacre leather face mask. I'm just kidding. His face is weird.
I was like, wait, oh my God, is he?
No. He's just, like, he just has a weird look to him. Like, how did he, like, why is he on this, and why is he so rude to every guy?
Very much is like, anytime they show him, and they're showing him in some of the previews and stuff on this one, mm-hmm, where they'd be like, Tayshia doesn't know this man's story, and then they just show Ed's face, and I'm like, it's not Ed, come on, we know it's not him, like, you're just faking us out with this. Ed is like barely on this show. The other thing I wanted to bring up, which is not specifically clothing related, but is appearance related, is when Riley goes off on Spencer on that group date, and he says,
yeah,
I wrote down some phrases here.
Oh, yeah.
Because Spencer basically like tries to.
Bro.
Yeah, like they have that thing in the water where
that's
Riley like elbowed the face of Spencer, and it. They showed the replay, and I still was like, yeah, I really don't know if that was intentional or not, but.
So can we describe it real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Riley's trying to grab something outside of the water, so, like, on the side of the pool, and Spencer is, like, hugging him or, like, trying to get his arms around the top of his shoulders, and so Riley instinctually bats his arm back, like, to bat him off of him and hits him in the face.
Nothing wrong with that.
I know.
Yeah, it didn't seem.
Make sure we said what actually happened.
Yeah, I don't think Riley was trying to like injure Spencer. No. And Chris Harrison did say that Spencer was being uber aggressive. He used the phrase uber aggressive in the water. They're calling it splash ball. It's water basketball game.
I know splash ball. Like, we're all supposed to know what that is.
Well, yeah, they're like, time for a great for game 3 year olds. And it was like water basketball, you mean? Like, okay.
Yeah.
But so that happened.
Splash ball organization is probably like loving this.
Yeah.
The American Splashball Association.
So the Riley Spencer interaction occurs. Spencer makes some comment that basically, I can't remember the exact phrase, but it boils down to him being like, well, we can go have a fight if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely is the aggressor in this because he's the first one to be like, we could go out back or whatever.
See, but this is the Spencer I'm talking about. He knows his place. Like, he's typically like kind of the alpha male in his group of bros, right, and they're all alpha males. But then someone like little Mr. Surf City goes to, let's say, Pico Union, Craig goes to somewhere in LA, and then all of a sudden they're down a notch because they don't know who they're talking to. Right. And I hope anyone puts that guy in his place. I don't care if he's like egged on by production. I think he is who I think he is.
Yeah. I don't disagree. So
no, well,
what's the fashion aspect here though?
nothing happens altercation wise, but the way that Riley describes Spencer, he calls him a pretty boy. He says he's lunch meat, right, and that he is a fried bologna sandwich with the mayonnaise all day. And I just love this description of Spencer.
Yeah, that was good.
So yeah, well, that's not a good clothing place, but it is appearance for sure. Spencer absolutely is a pretty boy who is lunch meat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a that good place sounded to end. Good. You know, like, I wish she made it sound like he should have called him like red string bologna with, you know, the Kroger mayonnaise. Like, he made it sound too good.
Yeah, like, the sandwich did sound a little bit appealing, honestly. Yeah. He's like, with the mayonnaise, huh?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Grilled with the mayonnaise? Yeah.
I mean, Spencer is pasty white, so it's like his face is oozing mayonnaise.
Yeah, well, he's trying to tell him, he's trying to like call him like prison lunch.
Yeah,
I mean, and I don't mean that because Riley, I don't mean that in like an urban getaway. I mean, like, that's what he's referring to, and I get that 100% he is.
Right.
But, but nothing. That's he's right.
Funny. Do you have any?
He's right. Music? I look forward to, you know, further confrontations between Riley and Spencer.
If Spencer's smart, which he might be, which is even the more frustrating part, Craig, USC was the perfect extension of Huntington Beach, if I can say that. These guys get away with everything, and much like I was talking about earlier with Yosef, who will not get away with anything, this guy will do a 360 in paradise or whatever, or 180, I guess. But actually, it's a 360. I get the feeling he's going to, you know, they're going to give him a redemption story. And it's frustrating Spencer. To already see Spencer, to already see like the arc.
Right.
Because it's built into the show.
Right. Yeah. That is a very good way of putting it. Well, let's end there. It's been lively and interesting conversation. And if you're listening at home, we hope you enjoy it. I don't know why that's funny. You probably wouldn't have made it this far if you didn't enjoy it. So that's probably why I think it's funny. Anything else?
Anything about next week's? I didn't see.
No, because they didn't do a coming up next week, did they?
Nope.
No, it was they did like the previews in the middle thing. Yeah. Which was unclear what's next week versus the whole rest of the season, but there's clearly things that are going to be happening.
Right. All right. Well, follow us on social media, leave a review on the Apple Podcast app, and we will see you next week.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Bye bye bye.